CEO Kunekazu Okumura of the highly successful Okumura Foods Company dons khaki-colored suit pants, a black suit jacket lined with a white button-up, exposing a red checkered cravat. It's reminiscent of your typical successful businessman running large parts of the world. And then you have Haru Okumura, the daughter of Kunekazu, and she is a kind and cordial gardening student attending Shujin Academy. Born into the life of success, everything is chosen for her, it seems. A mere tool for leverage in everyone's personal life but her own. Each grapple and climb up the social ladder at her expense pushes her beneath her own image, her own power, forcing her to pack her truth down as leverage to maintain her false image. Being married off, where she feels powerless, to an abusive man is the biggest challenge she faces. This decision is only suited for her father, Kunekazu, who entered into the political arena to leverage his success and influence. We hear rumors that Kunekazu is abusing his power by underpaying and exploiting employees of Big Bang Burger, the big moneymaker of Okumura Foods Company. You know, exploitation seems tightly married to capitalism, and we learn quickly how beastly in nature it can be. I couldn't help but think how common this is. Not only are we looking at a cultural issue one desires not to be a part of, being married or sold off, it makes one think about some of the most successful companies and businessmen. One in particular, who I will not name, has become the leading store owner in many parts of the world. Claims of exploitation aren't few and far in between, and we've noticed a deliberate quest for a change in public image. But who was at fault here? The consumers who demand, or the entity? What about the CEO? Who? Welcome to Okumura's Palace. Welcome back, my phantom thieves. Welcome back to the Paint of Fools podcast. I am the Paint of Fool, and this space is for you. Welcome to the Gamer's Den. Welcome to the Grounds of Fertility. We're teachable here, and we apply the things that we learn in our lives, and we share those life lessons. We share those gifts that we receive. We also have elders, so we're not wandering lone wolves in these streets without any guidance. We apply the wisdom and the guidance of the elders for a smooth and prosperous life, or that is the only life they want for us. If you are unaware of who I am and what I do, I am a business owner of J. Green Multimedia, which I function, I wear many hats. I am an art instructor, children's book illustrator, and creator and producer of the children's show called The Painted Fool's Paint House, of which I teach little children how to paint, problem solve, and save the day. We have a unique ability in the show where we paint and we bring our paintings to life to serve ourselves and others in some way. You can find the show on the Goddess Talk Network, airing on Roku Player, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, and you can find it in Comcast Big South. You can also find the show on YouTube. This space, the Paint of Fools podcast, is all about everyone and everything. Be yourself and mind your business. That's really what this is about. Okay. I share lessons that I learn. I am all about problem, solution, application, and results. It's just about getting the thing done and sharing the lessons and all that good stuff. But primarily, we're talking about Persona 5, probably right now my favorite game in a long time. And I love the themes. I love the stories behind it. I love just how deeply woven the stories are. I love the character development. I just love how unique the characters are. And I figured we're going to keep talking about this thing. So if you're new, welcome. If you are not, welcome back. We left off on the path to Okumura. I was calling him Okumura, I think. Yeah, because I didn't realize that his pronunciation of his name would be Okumura. But we're going to just hop right into it. Yeah? All right, so remember where I left off at? We were on our way to our class trip together in Hawaii. So now we're on the class trip. And the party is a little different. It's everyone except for Yusuke is in Hawaii, but he's not attending Shujin Academy. Futaba and Morgana are still home in Japan. And Makoto is there, but she's a chaperone. So we arrive to Hawaii. Ryuji's losing it. You know, he's struck in awe over the beauty, the heat. You know, we have Diamond Head. He's looking at Diamond Head. It's like, oh my gosh. And we figuring out, like, we get to the hotel and we begin to try to figure out, like, who's rooming with who. So I decide to room with Mishima, and then we officially start our time there at Hawaii. Back inside the room, which is it's a pretty nice room, I gotta tell you, with Mishima, he's talking about how focused he is on the Phantom Thieves and how Akechi's blog is up in flames since the Phantom Thieves took down the Medjet. And he's just going in and in and on about it. And I'm kind of like, I'm choosing the responses that are just like, oh, okay, sure. But not trying to dismiss my interest, my lack of interest, because we're on Hawaii right now. Now, the following day, we're all talking outside. And we're not aware that we're standing in front of a restaurant chain that we thought only existed in Japan. And that's called Big Bang Burger. And An brings it up. Now, Makoto mentioned she read a news article about the success of Okumura Foods. Okumura Foods Company owns Big Bang Burger. And she read a news article about it, and she read it following a rumor that Okumura Foods has overseas competition, but it mysteriously pulled out with no reasoning. And also, Okumura's name is top ranked on the Phantom Thieves website, the fan site where people throw out requests and we solve side quests and mementos. That's the fan site. And everyone has been putting his name at the list for the Phantom Thieves to change his heart. Interesting, right? So we go over to the beach. We want to have some time to chill out. We get some free time from whatever work we were doing for school. And An forgets her sunscreen. So Makoto decides to go with An to a convenience store to grab some sunscreen. Now Ryuji's chilling over there. He's surprised people are talking about the Phantom Thieves in Hawaii. He's like, yo, like we're popular in a whole other part of the world. Like, this is what? Like, how is this a real thing? We decide at that moment to start a mini side quest to hear people's thoughts about the Phantom Thieves. And we're asking around, and we see this one girl sitting on the bench under a palm tree. She's on her phone. She has like this short bob doobie, not a doobie, but it's like a bob, curly bob, and it's pink. And approaching her, and she's just like, yo, should we be heading back soon as free time is almost up? Like, y'all should be, like, free time is up. And we learn that she's a Shujin Academy student. She had on, like, the pleated skirt and everything, so it made sense. She says that she's a chaperone for the trip, but she wasn't sure how to spend her free time. And then on Makoto return from the store, the girl leaves. Makoto was in her prying tone, you know, she's investigative. Do you know her? And Yusuke confirms with Makoto if she's a Shujin student or not. And Makoto was like, yeah, she is. She's a chaperone. I just don't know her. All right. We're not back in Japan, but we switch over to Japan for a second with Futaba and Morgana. Futaba is still recovering information from the flash drive used to grab info from Sai's computer. And Morgana is sitting on her desk next to her. During this period, during this whole mission, Morgana is struggling with feeling useless now more than ever. Since we left to go for Hawaii, he was kind of like, oh, you guys are leaving. You can tell he wasn't really a fan of being left alone. And we begin to see over time, you'll begin to see why. but he's struggling with this thing that the crew is beginning to show more aptitude in handling things on their own. Remember, Morgana was the guide for the protagonist and Ryuji. Like, Morgana was the Rolodex of information. He had all the insight. And now Futaba, she has great hacking abilities. She can find out a lot of stuff. Makoto is just perceptive and intuitive and also extremely investigative. And Morgana is beginning to feel like, I'm only useful as a vehicle and mementos. Like, I don't really have much more guidance to offer anymore, you know? So he's like, all I'm good for is driving them around in mementos. He's talking out loud. He's like, I'm basically useless. So as he's sitting next to Futaba, she interrupts Morgana sulking, and she's like, speak up. I can't hear you. I'm focused on my hacking right now. And Morgana won't share what he said. And then Futaba begins to break her focus to start petting Morgana and to make him speak. And she's complimenting how soft he feels and all that stuff. And she's saying it's hard for her to believe that he's a human because of how soft and cuddly he is. And then Morgana gets upset and asserts himself that he is human. And then Futaba's like, well, how can you be so sure? I had the wrong assumptions about my mom for the longest time. And she's beginning to kind of say, like, yo, remember, I had false memories about myself and my identity. So maybe this could be something you should consider. So he gets upset and he's like, nah, this isn't the same. You know, he understands himself more than anyone, you know. But anyway, this is like the buildup of Morgana's challenge and then the story as well, because we will see what happens. Back in Hawaii, in our room, this is me and Mishima, we're talking about the rankings of Okumura Foods, and it's continuing to climb. And Mishima is saying that Okumura Foods exploits their employees. They underpay staff, and they underpay staff to reduce labor costs. Anna and Ryuji come in our room, and Anna's like, I forgot my key and I'm locked out of the room. And her roommate left out with her boyfriend, so no one can let her in. And then Ryuji left to come with us because his roommate brought his girlfriend in, and he just didn't want to be awkward and be the third wheel and hearing them screw and all that kind of stuff. So he's like, nah, I'm out. So Mishima is still in awe that the Phantom Thieves are global, because now there's overseas requests on the fan site. People are putting in requests and submitting names to the Phantom Thieves, and it's beginning to get real, real big. Now, I spend time with one of my confidants just to pass the time, and then we switch back to Tokyo or to Japan. Back at LeBlanc, right? One of the school counselors, Dr. Maruki, and I did not speak about Dr. Maruki because this was before I switched from Persona 5 to Persona 5 Royale. But Dr. Maruki is a new character they added in to serve as a counselor for the students at Shujin to deal with the Kamoshida incident. Because there's been a lot of talk around the high school about Kamoshida. So Dr. Maruki came to serve as a counselor to talk to people, and then there was a student there that attempted suicide over this, and he was serving to help everyone else. And then I built a confidant relationship with Dr. Maruki, and I have a major arcana card named after our relationship. So Dr. Maruki comes in almost the facility. He comes in LeBlanc. He sits down and places his book on the bar. He has like this book he's holding. Now, the book is about cognitive science. And Futaba and Sojiro damn near freak out. And Sojiro's like, you need to leave. And Futaba stops Sojiro, and she starts probing, like asking questions about him and his involvement with the book. And Maruki shares that he has a personal interest in cognitive science, and he was just talking about it, but Futaba began to build a little bit more trust, and she seemed happy after speaking to him about it, and then she just goes upstairs. Back in Hawaii, it's time for us to leave to go back to Japan, and we meet the red-haired girl, Kasumi, the gymnast, inside the souvenir shop, and we share some dialogue, and off to Japan we head. Now, on our way back to Japan, Principal Kobayakawa of Shujin Academy is seen having a heart attack while crossing the street on his way to the police station. He freezes in place, his eyes go white, and then he gets hit by a truck. Now back inside the attic at LeBlanc, Futaba is preparing to give us information decoded from Sai's laptop, right? Makoto interjects to give attention to the principal dying suddenly, and it's a pretty big deal because, yo, like, everyone's talking like, did the Phantom Thieves do it? Was Principal Kobayakawa covering something up? Since the Kamoshida incident, you know, Anne's beginning to doubt the Phantom Thieves since we changed Kamoshida's heart. It's starting to get a little contentious right now. But we start talking about the information grab from the laptop. So Sai has been looking into the cases of people collapsing, and she was searching for a common thread, and she cites that a beneficiary of the majority of the incidents were linked to Kunikazu Okumura. Okumura Foods benefited from scandals and resignations of competitors' executives, and it appears he's the cause of the incidents. Now check this. Futaba placed his name in the Metaverse Navigator and quickly learned that Okumura has a palace. And that also confirms the reasoning as to why he's at the top of the ranking. Now, it gets a bit more contentious with the group. An's having those second thoughts about moving forward with the target because of the fame that's surrounding the Phantom Thieves. Yo, there's even merchandise being sold in the Phantom Thieves' names. You have little cupcakes and donuts and cookies and little charms and all of this stuff that's being created. And it's getting out of hand. Ryuji gets upset that An is having second thoughts. And then Morgana, in all of his built-up frustration with his own life and the stuff that Ryuji said to him, calling him useless at the beach, Morgana just checks Ryuji for using the Phantom Thieves' name to pick up girls. And Morgana is just like, yo, like, I'm like, get it together. Morgana gets upset, still struggling with that whole stuff going on, leaves the party, y'all, walks out the attic, and is just like, yo, I'm going after Okumura on my own. And he's like, sorry, it looks like I'll be getting the credit for solving the mental shutdown mystery this time. And everyone's individual issues are beginning to show. They're beginning to reveal. Morgana was having flashbacks from being told he wasn't useful by Ryuji at the beach with Futaba. So that's a thing. So he's like, I'm going to show you who the useless one actually is. On his way to the palace, he passes the girl who was sitting on the beach in Hawaii, you know, with little pink hair. Meanwhile, Sai and Akechi are both upset with the Phantom Thieves. Now, Akechi is a little shocked that Sai is taking a different measure to get to the bottom of things. Sai thinks that because this situation is beyond police jurisdiction, that different measures must be taken. And Akechi is like, huh, you're no different than the Phantom Thieves taking that approach. And it's causing Akechi to get a little, like, I don't know if I trust you, chick. Like, I don't know about you. Now, Morgana is seen in the palace. Quickly, this is like a quick scene change. Morgana is seen in the palace about to die, y'all, because he went at it alone. He passes out right in front of some shadows in there. And the shadows are like, just leave him there. Like, what's the point? And we switch back to the attic, or we're back at LeBlanc. On the news, in LeBlanc, it's me, Futaba, and Sojiro. Futaba and I are watching the news, and there's a report of multiple glass windows being shattered at the Okumura Foods corporate headquarters, as well as a statue being messed up. So Futaba and I are texting each other about this, and she's like, Do you think Morgana has something to do with that, being that he infiltrated the building by himself? And I'm like, it's pretty likely. So we should go to the palace tomorrow. As we're texting each other, Sojiro is watching us suspiciously, like, huh, I can tell they talking to each other. Like, what is this strange? What is this? The following day, right, we're standing outside the headquarters discussing what to do next. We input the keywords to enter the shadow world on the metaverse, but y'all, tell me why, as they're entering the keyword, Akechi is standing in the vicinity watching them. He watches them enter the metaverse. It's getting juicy. Let me calm. All right. I gotta describe the palace, though. It appears to be this spaceship. There is electronic environmentals all around. We go downstairs, like there's this platform that takes us down. We're always going down the platforms. You enter a spot and go down. And we spot a bunch of robots as we go down the first platform. And we learn Kumara's cognition. Like the bosses in there are robots, or the shadows in there are robots. Those robots are his employees. Useless, easily disposed of, and it's beginning to give me a popular warehouse from a well-known company, but I will digress. In the following room, there's this center hologram projection of what looks like a big spaceship. It looks like it's like a hollow geometric pattern or blueprint of a ship that spins in a circle. But the holographic blueprint, the geometric pattern is in the shape of a hamburger bun, like the top bun, we begin to notice. This entire building has advanced security measures, and it prevents us access from going any further at this point. So we're stuck in that room. Now we're sitting there stumped, trying to figure out, like, where do we go next? Like, what do we do? What's happening? What's taking place? As we're thinking and pondering, another figure comes forward from the shadows, telling us to halt. And we're like, okay. And then Morgana comes out behind this girl, this figure. And, you know, we can clearly tell it's a girl at this point because of the voice. But Morgana has a lot of attitude. Morgana's pissed with us. And it's just giving betrayal vibes, you know? We're excited to find Morgana, seeing that he's safe and he's just mad sharp and mad rude and mad short with us. And he's like, you should just go home with your tail between your legs if you're looking for treasure here. And Morgana's like, he and that girl with him are going to take the treasure. The girl revealed herself as Beauty Thief. And she says to us, y'all not qualified to be Phantom Thieves. And we're like, what? It got real cringy at this point. I won't say why, but it got real cringy because she just wasn't a believable Phantom Thief. And it seemed as though Morgana was just feeding her information and she seemed like she was fresh out of the oven. And it just was just dumb. But anyway, we leave the metaverse. Morgana and the girl are still there, but we leave the metaverse and we're back in the attic, and Futaba notices that the door we were trying to access allowed the Beauty Thief girl to enter. I forgot to tell you that. She was able to get inside the room, but we weren't. So Futaba began to wonder what she has that enabled access and prevented and denied access to us. We begin to deduce that the girl goes to Shujin Academy because something about her looked familiar. We just couldn't identify and articulate what it was exactly. But we agree to start scanning around to get clues. The first place we go to look at is the school yearbook. In the yearbook, we spot this girl named Haru. Haru Okumura. And Makoto was like, this might be the girl. This looks like her silhouette, the hair, everything. And Makoto was like, it makes sense, yeah. It's how she may have gotten past the biometric reader in the palace. We wanted to know, though, how she got there to begin with. So I'm walking out the building, walking out the school, and I spot Haru unloading some soil. She's a gardening student. And I help her unload, and she asks me if I'm interested in gardening. And I'm like, you know, sure, I am. Just, you know, you need help? Makoto comes out of nowhere in her way that she does her things, just investigative, real sly, real just, you know. And she just asks Haru outright, do you care to explain why you were at your father's palace? And Haru's like, oh, she's like, you know, she's like shocked and admits that she had doubts about her father and wants to help him atone for his crimes. She doesn't want to work with the Phantom Thieves because they don't know what they want to do. And they're also stirring the general public and they're abandoning their friend Morgana. So Makoto and we start to feel a little bad as she's saying this. And she walks away. Haru walks away. Back at the Okumo residence, Haru walks in on her father yelling on the phone, drive them away, make it a priority. And I'm like, all right, okay. He's like, I finally get a foothold into politics and this happens. Phantom Thieves. And he looks over at Haru and he's like, did the media ask you anything? Mind you, he never acknowledged her entering the house. He didn't say hi, like nothing. And he's become aware that he's ranked on the top forum of the fan site, of the Phantom Thieves website. And he's like, is this the jealousy of the successful? Nothing but the barks of the masses who lack the resolve to sacrifice what's needed for their well-being. Both the young and the old are overjoyed with some foolish idols. This country has no future. And he said that, and I thought to myself, like, I mean, you're doing some shady business, you know, shady business, but your sacrificing is for personal gain. It's not, you know, we do understand sacrifice and the importance of it. Personal pleasures and certain things that need to just lay down for what's most important and what's necessary. It's like, what you're talking about is on some shady stuff. There's this son of a politician that Haru is supposed to be dating or remaining cordial with for her father. For her father. Okay. He insists, he being the father, insists that she doesn't mess that relationship up. Now, we got to make right with Morgana, the crew, because we care about him and the team isn't right without him. We're just not good. So we take a pause with Haru and her father. We're back with the crew now. We also have to take down Okumura together. We've decided to hang out in Mementos for a little bit. We learn that someone has been taking care of the fan site and the side missions and side quests and changing hearts in Mementos. And we think that it's Morgana and the Mystery Girl. We find Morgana and Beauty Thief entering Mementos. We try apologizing to Morgana and things were fine for like legit a half a second. And Morgana was like, you really mean it? And then Ryuji messed it up and Morgana got upset, made us chase him around and then left Mementos with Beauty Thief. Morgana is walking in the real world with Haru. And Haru's like, are you sure that's exactly what you wanted to do? And Morgana's like, yep. But Haru isn't liking what's going on. And Morgana just runs off. And I'm not sure where Morgana was going because Morgana is not happy with the crew. So he wasn't going back to LeBlanc in the attic. He was, I don't know where he was going. But anyway, so she's walking. And this dude in a suit comes out of nowhere angry with her. And he's like, you made me look everywhere for you. What were you doing somewhere without any reception? Out late with the guys. That's it, isn't it? And she's like, what? Like, I'd never do such a thing. So he grabs her wrists and he tries to proposition her. And Morgana comes back and claws after the dude. Unfortunately, he kicks Morgana into the wall. Morgana is like on his way passing out and he's like, I am useless. Right on time, though, the crew comes back from Mementos and they hear Morgana asking for help. We run into Morgana and we find the dude and Haru, and he tries to play it off. He's like, this is a lover's quarrel between myself and my fiance. And we're like, fiance, what the hell? You know, he's like, how dare you make a fool of me? I'll be telling your father about this too. I won't forget your faces. And he walks off. So Morgana apologizes, and then we all link back in the attic at LeBlanc to talk and Haru to gather herself. And Morgana is just starting to speak more from the heart. And Morgana's like, I'm not sure if I'll ever turn back into a human. And then Haru tells her truth. And she says that her reason for forming a contract with her persona had nothing to do with her father. The issue is that she doesn't want to get married. It's about her control being taken away from her. And Morgana notices that everyone has a reason for being a phantom thief except him. And he's being doubtful, like, I don't have a reason to stay with the group. I don't need to be here. But the truth of the matter is that he really wants to be there. He wants to belong. It's the only place he feels like he belongs, and he wants to stay with the group forever. And upon that confession, our bond developed, like the protagonist, like myself and Morgana's bond developed, and I learned a new ability under the Magician Arcana, and it was called Endure. And that skill increases the chances of standing a fatal attack with one hit point remaining, which I thought was interesting. You know, when you think about Morgana actually getting hit to almost dying, but managed to keep to pull through, and his friends helped him. And, you know, I think that was an interesting nod to that moment. And following the story, good writing, good development. I love it. I love it all. Haru goes back home. And her father was like, the matter has been settled. You'll be welcome into your fiance's household. Go prove your sincerity to him. And she's like, wait, so I'm not even allowed to decide where I'll live? Immediately, she calls us and asks us to meet. And we all agreed to join as a team to change Okumura's heart. And the reason behind this is Haru will be given to her fiance or sold to her fiance in less than a month. And she's like, I'm not doing that shit. Yusuke is like, all right, so if you're sure, remember the outcome. If we trigger a change of heart in your father, he'll definitely be taken by the police. The label of a criminal's daughter will forever stick with you. And your current living situation may change as well. He's telling her, like, yo, your livelihood is at stake. The very comfort of luxury is at stake. And she's like, if I accept a happiness based on the misfortune of others, I'll be no better than my father. We have until October 10th to change Okumura's heart, to not only change the tides of business, but to change the course of Haru's life. We all go into the palace together, and we share dialogue upon entering, and we run into Shadow Kunikazu, you know, the father. And he looks similar to Darth Vader without the helmet. Black cape, red lining, and a glass clear helmet with antennas, they look like, yeah, antenna horns on each side. But they're not curled horns. They're just like, think of antennas, all right? We learn that Okumura Foods is just leverage for Kunikazu to earn some more money. There's something else that's happening. We're getting little tidbits of. And he wants more money, influence, and notoriety. And Haru's life is just an asset to him. Like, his daughter is just like, you should be grateful that you're able to further the legacy of an Okumura. And at that point, Haru learning that made her persona awaken. And inside of her, her persona is screaming, freedom for you must stem from betrayal. And her persona's name is Melody, named after Melody de Winter from The Three Musketeers, Femme Fatale, another Femme Fatale. And Haru decides to give herself a new codename in the metaverse, and she changed it from Beauty Thief to Noir. And that's to give a nod to her being a heroine of the dark side, or the hidden side of justice. And we explore and we defeat the fiance, the shadow fiance who came up, and then Shadow Kunikazu leaves. The palace is similar to Futaba's in the sense that it is technological, but Futaba's palace dealt more with records and memory, and it had such a deep connection to ancient knowledge and deep wisdom and deep in depth, whereas this deals with more terminal file system, spaceship security. It's a little different, but similar in a technological sense. Now we go into this room that has this terminal, like this tower, and Futaba is hacking into the system, and she sees this thing called Project Escape to Utopia. And it makes us all like, what does this mean? Like, this is foreshadowing something pretty major, and this is really giving me so-and-so. I'm not going to say who, but so-and-so. Okay? I'm going to stop here before we get into the battle with Okumura and we get into the lessons and everything else. But yeah, this palace and all that is pretty reminiscent to capitalism and a lot of successful business people. And but one in particular is strongly standing out, and I think you know who I'm talking about. It's so funny. But I mean, this is not the only person of which these types of things happen with. Like, you always have people who get a little crazy with what they have, and then they want to start doing a bunch of extra, and you're like, why do you want to do that? Is there a reason behind you wanting to branch out in this? Because we doubt that it has anything to do with your interest in getting involved in this market. There is something you see outside of what the populace sees, and it's something that you want outside of the populace's scope of vision. But anyway, we're going to stop here. I'm going to pick up with the second part to Okumura, the lessons and any further character development that takes place. Follow me on IG at The Pain of Fool on my website. You can comment under my blog posts, by the way, under my website, thepainoffool.com. And, you know, to engage about the content. I didn't have enough time to devote to our Discord anyway because of what I'm doing right now with my life. I'm extremely busy. And once this is all over, I'll reveal with what I've been doing that's kept me extremely busy. However, let's keep the conversation going about Okumura. I'm getting Shin Megami Tensei 5, and we're going to delve into that as I am playing Persona 5 Royale, and we're going to keep going. You know, Shin Megami Tensei is the housing of Persona, the Persona series. Persona got so good that it branched off as its own game, but it's under Shin Megami Tensei. So, you know, just a little FYI, but Some of the enemies, or majority of the enemies, are the same in Shin Megami Tensei. They look the same. They have the same names, everything. And yeah, it's pretty dope. But I'm going to get that, and we're going to talk about that, Shin Megami Tensei 5. And we're going to keep it moving from there. But please engage. Let me know your thoughts. And show some love. All right, guys, I'm out. Until next time. Peace.